Hi, I'm Doug Weiss.
And I'm Alvian Lyons.
This is Love Life.
So, Alvian, we're partners, right?
Yes, we are.
Well, I want to tell you, it's really all about me.
You know, I'm so glad we've had that revelation.
Well, I'm kidding, of course, but sometimes in a relationship, one or the other partner seems to put themselves first.
Right.
And you get the feeling it really is all about them. Mm. And the question we've been asked is, what do you do about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, in some of the work that I've done over the years, one of the more difficult experiences to work with couples through is this very thing, where someone is so focused on their needs being met that they're really not concerned about the other person. And we talked about empathy a few weeks ago and really being able to see beyond yourself and into the emotions, the needs, the fears, the issues, whatever that may be, the struggle, the pain of somebody else. And when you're in a relationship with someone who, in all honesty, boiling it down, who's just selfish, you're truly self-centered, that mm-hmm. it is just about your happiness. And as long as you are happy in the relationship, you believe it's a good relationship. Really ignoring the experience of the other person. What is that person experiencing of you? So it is profoundly dangerous in relationships to be with someone who does not value you enough for you to matter and your needs to matter inside of that relationship. And it happens more commonly than people would like to acknowledge.
Yeah, I think that's true. Because I think there's a reciprocal here. Mm-hmm. And that is that there are people, I mean, you'd think this would be easy, right? You can, if you can spot somebody who's that self-centered, why would you get into a relationship
right.
with them? Well, I think the truth is that there are people who unconsciously perhaps go into relationships for precisely that reason. They see themselves in relationship with another person as the subservient partner. Mm. They see themselves as having to placate, please the other person. And there's an imbalance in the relationship from the beginning that will ultimately cause both parties discomfort, less so for the one that's ascendant, more for the one that's placating. But indeed, I have been around this kind of behavior before and seen, I see this, and again, we often try to avoid as much as possible any gender stereotyping. But sometimes you can't. And at least in my experience, I've seen this more commonly with women than men. Mm-hmm. Women who get into a relationship with a man and cater to this kind of self-centeredness, see that in a way as sort of a badge of honor. Mm. And they feel themselves more womanly, more giving, more emotionally expansive because they are catering to this. I think it's ultimately an incredibly destructive behavior.
It's a dangerous endeavor.
I've offered up a male perspective there, but but what's your take on it?
Okay, well, I would say, consider this, all right, since we actually rarely go this place, why not for this subject matter, okay? Consider it as lovemaking. The most wonderful experience to have lovemaking is to be with a partner whose joy comes from your joy. Mm. And if you can have two people experiencing this, whose priority is equally the other person, both people leave that intimate experience thrilled for what this has been, because your happiness, your moment of high, was my pursuit, and my moment of high was your pursuit. So what happens in that space is one of the most incredible spaces you will ever have. And if we were to take that from its horizontal space and turn it into its vertical space, relationships need to be about mutually being interested in the joy of the other person, not at the expense of one's own, but rather that I am choosing a relationship with someone who's just as interested in pleasing and being there and satisfying me as I am them. So there is a beautiful and healthy reciprocity that exists that we can be very aware of horizontally, but tend to be very ignorant of vertically. So when we're looking for who we should and how we should date, watch for the little things in terms of when I get into a car, do I even bother? It's like The Bronx Tale, if anybody's ever seen that movie. And one of the main characters says to Colchonel, who is the main character, that when you're choosing a girl, open her door and then watch to see if she reaches over to open yours. This was back before automatic openings. So it showed a lack of self-absorbance that you didn't even recognize that your partner is locked out of their side of the car. For me as a woman, I always look for, with my husband, I wanted to see that he would wait till I sat in the car because I opened my own door. But many times he would make sure that I was sitting in the car and the door was closed before he sat in the car. So that primal sense of being covered and protected was evident in those things. When we used to be broke college students, we would go to the laundromat because we didn't have our own washer and dryers inside of our respective apartments. So we'd go to the laundromat and he would fold my undergarments. And as silly as it may sound, I loved the fact that something so small as undergarments that you can easily just put in the corner after you folded all the main things, nobody would be offended. He would fold the undergarments, and it said to me, which I have experienced in relationship with him, that the smallest, most intimate details of my world, he cared about doing them right. It's tiny little things that we do one for another that speak to our interest in the other person's satisfaction, wholeness, and fulfillment. Mm-hmm.
I think we should add that there are times in every relationship where one partner or the other needs more from the other.
Oh, yes.
The health issues, certainly.
Oh, for sure.
Career issues. Those are two strong. I remember when my father died. And my wife, you know, could see just how difficult this was for me. My dad and I were very close. I was struggling with it. And there was a period of probably a couple of months where, you know, it was all about me. I'd like to think it wasn't in that extreme, but I, you know, I wasn't that aware during that period. I was kind of, you know, down in the dumps.
Pain will do that.
And and she rose to that occasion, just as later in our relationship when she was ill, and I had to rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. So to your point, putting the other person's needs ahead of your own is the surest way to ensure that your needs are going to be met. I mean, if you want to look at it in that sort of transactional sense. But the healthy relationship is one where you're seeking the rich experience, joy, happiness of the other individual. And that's your priority in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is something so beautiful about selfless individuals. And I want to be very clear, because you referenced it so appropriately earlier, that we're not talking about people who choose relationships so that they could be martyrs inside of their relationships. Mm-hmm. We're talking about individuals who recognize the value and beauty of their partner and decide that that is one of the most important things to them, and they behave out that appreciation, that gratitude, that love and adoration for their partner through the choices that they are making. There's when we can be in those environments, when we can allow ourselves to be that, sometimes even as a model to our partner, because sometimes our partners did not have the experience of watching healthy love. Mm-hmm. They did not have the experience of watching selfless love. And sometimes it requires of us, Douglas, that we show them how to be what it is that we want, that we model for them that kind of love. Because we don't do ourselves any service by asking for something that we're not willing to be to our partner. We need to be the thing that we're asking of our partner. That is the most effective and healthiest way to be able to say and show what love, the kind of way that you want to be loved, the kind of way that you may need to be loved at some point, is to model that. And then I will say with one small caveat, understanding love languages as well, because how I may need to be loved may be different than the way that I naturally give love, or how you need to be loved may not necessarily be my natural way of getting or receiving love. But for us to be able to flex our languages in such a way that if acts of service is what translates as love for you, but words of affirmation is what translates for love for me, being able to flex back and forth between those things so that I can show you what affirmation sounds like, and you can show me what acts of service look like, so that we can both speak each other's love languages in ways that neither of us question how much we are loved or the priority that we represent in each other's lives.
So rather than putting ourselves ahead of others, we want to put our partner ahead of ourselves.
The way that God loved us.
Indeed.
Indeed.
This is another episode of Love Life, one of our favorite things is to be able to respond to questions from listeners. We hope that if you have a question, you'll send it to us at alvian@lovelife.digital.
Or doug@lovelife.digital.
And we'll respond to you on the air. That's it for this week. Mm-hmm. We want to thank you, our listeners.
We love you guys.
Our producer, Barbara Hambly, Todd Washburn, our recording engineer, and we'll be back with you next week.
See you soon.